us. Larry, you'll be the first to come on up. I think I want you to hear, we'll have to follow. I want to share, we're going to go Hebrews 3 and 4. Hopefully you've meditated that. It's a new thing we're doing until we get through Hebrews. We'll take two chapters, meditate on them through the week, and then let God just kind of keep imprinting and putting dimension and depth and height of Jesus into the scripture, so that the Bible, that book of Hebrews, can become a, it's probably one of the most books of depth of who Christ is and as Melchizedek, as high priest, and what he's accomplished. So we'll do that. But I want to start with Larry. If you want to come on up and give your, share your testimony, that would be a blessing. God was moving today in the day of prayer. You may not have felt it, or you may have felt the movement in the midst of your day. It doesn't matter. He was moving. Something so big and beautiful is coming and is upon us now. Larry was the first up, 6 o'clock, so he gets to be the first up here.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
You might check the mic.
The best day so far for me personally in prayer at this church. Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You hold my breath in your hand, Lord. You own all of my life. You are my heartbeat and my life preserver. I always begin by saying something to the Lord Jesus. And then I went to Hebrews. I've been, like Pastor's been saying, been meditating Hebrews before. Chapter 4, verses 14 to the end, became a new special favorite today. Seeing then that we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all ways tempted as we, but without sin. Now, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace,
yes,
that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And this is a wonderful scripture, but it means something different to me now. About 3 or 4 months ago, Melanie had an issue, tried to take hold of her body. And after going to the doctor and fear was loosed, we came against the fear in the name of Jesus. And so after the semi-bad diagnosis, last week on Thursday, we went for exploratory procedure, declaring that Jesus, our high priest, is the healer. He's the restorer. He is able to deliver us to the utmost because he ever lives to intercede for us. And so we went, and the doctor called me and said a few words, but Monday, 2 to 3 days ago, Jesus spoke to the doctor, and the doctor called us, and he said, not only is the condition not there, there is nothing wrong with your body. Everything is brand new in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This our faithful high priest. This is Jesus, our faithful high priest. He is so faithful. Jesus, so faithful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so we begin to share this morning testimonies about our families. We had quite a bit of beautiful testimony about our families. And then we switched. We had the two ladies from Pepperdine that come almost every week. They're both professors at Pepperdine, both graduates of Pepperdine. So we began to pray for the University of Pepperdine. Revival, spirit-filled explosion of the Spirit of God. We spent really about an hour praying for this. Diana, Where'd you go?
She's back there.
And as Diana comes in early in the morning, and she comes in, turns the lights, the other lights, and she goes to her room. But today, Spirit of God says, go in and talk with them. And she walks in. We're finishing up the prayer for Pepperdine. We prayed for revival. We prayed for an awakening. We prayed for Holy Spirit explosion. And then she came up and said, I gotta tell you what happened at Pepperdine. Pepperdine has a brand new president. And his inauguration, Hillsong, came from Australia. And he is a Spirit-filled believer. He loves Jesus. He's declaring Jesus. And one of the ladies, one of the professors, was at his inauguration. And she said, I've never heard anything ever at Pepperdine like what this man said. There's an absolute answer in about 10 minutes. We had the answer to our prayer right here, Archer. Thank you, Jesus. We didn't know what was going on, but Jesus knows. So, Father, I thank you that everything was prayed today, not just by us, but by everyone that prayed, every breath that was prayed, every heartbeat, every song that was sung, every bit of praise and worship will be answered immediately. For shall not our God immediately come and answer the prayer? We thank you, Jesus, for you take good care of us. You take hold of us, and you uplink us, and you hold us close to yourself, and you'll never, ever let us go. We praise you, Jesus, for every good thing that you're doing in the body of Christ, all across the world, particularly here, and also now in the university, starting at Pepperdine now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Larry, you testified to healing. I want you to release healing. Anybody who needs to be touched in their bodies, especially for healing, stand up and online, because yes, there was an anointing on that. It's transferable.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are the great high priest, Lord. And you are the great healer. And you're
online,
the great deliverer. And you're the great savior. So we come to you. We don't have to beseech you. We don't have to beg you. We come boldly before the throne of grace. And you stand before that throne. It's the mercy seat, but it's also called the throne of grace. And you represent the grace of God. Because it's by grace we are saved through faith. And that grace is what you did. So, Lord Jesus, we ask you to send out all healing virtue from your throne right now to every person here in the building, every person online. We send it out in the name of Jesus. We send the word to heal and to deliver from every destruction. We thank you, Jesus, that by your wounds our instant healing flows. We receive that flowing from your wound to our sickness, to all infirmity, all disease, all fear, all despondency. We say, be gone in Jesus' name, because the healing of Jesus flows from heaven through us to them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your healing virtue. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, Lord. We receive it by faith now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Larry. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else who's got a testimony of today before I share a little about Hebrews? Yes, come to Anna. There is going to be more Holy Spirit and more miracles toward the end. So the woman who pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, because she had heard about Jesus and said what would happen when she touched him, be in that spirit of engagement, because there's a big hem of his garment up coming. His train of the robe fills the temple. And we can touch him and we can receive anything. So just keeping engaged faith. Go ahead, Diana.
There's just such an anticipation and a feeling of the Lord present in the house. And As we, this morning when we were all praying together, water, we keep getting water words. And guys, you really want to come to the inheritance because there's going to be a really cool testimony about water then. And ladies, we can watch online and that's good. But there's just been so many words about water and water and water and baptism and water. And as we were praying, I realized that Jesus is already moving in everything, in every place as God. And we keep saying, God, would you come and would you do? And today he shifted me and he said, stop asking me to come and do. I'm already coming and doing. Ask for me to open your eyes. And that's going to tie into Brian's testimony because he was praying for God to open his eyes. And so it was from that that the Lord quickened my spirit to say, Lord, open my eyes to see where you are and what you're doing. That he's already moving in every circumstance, in every situation. Everything, and the minute everything. I show up, the Spirit of the Lord is there because he's inside of me. And so if I will just say, Lord, show me what you're doing and what I'm to do, he may highlight a person. You may think, oh, it's all about this. And he's like, wait, but look over here. I want you to go talk to that one. And that one could be the woman at the well that then goes and evangelizes the whole thing, right? So we have to stop looking with our natural eyes. Mm-hmm. And we have to really come into, he kept using the word, come into concert with me. Come in partnership, in concert with what my spirit's already doing. So I just want to release that and pray right now. Father, would you open our eyes to see you, to see Jesus in every circumstance, in every location and place that we're in, to see you, to see what you're doing, to see what you're already at work doing, and then to say, now what would you have me do? Mm-hmm. What would you have me pray in this moment? What would you have me say in this moment? What would you have me believe for in this moment? Because it is enough, because you are God. You are Lord over every circumstance. You are Lord in every situation, and you are already moving because you are God. So open my eyes to see what you are doing, where you are, and then speak to my heart for what you want for me to do in that moment, for me and for all of Jubilee. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Diana. Yeah, Brian has a testimony that we'll be having, he'll be sharing on Saturday, and then we'll make sure everybody gets him. But it's life-changing. There's so many visions, and all I'm having to do with water right now, breaking up of the wells, sending the deep wells, flooding and the pouring out of the water, dry ground, floods upon places that are barren. It just keeps coming, and it's going out, and it's increasing, and I'm so, so excited about it. I mean, I've never been experiencing the Lord in prayer like I am on those Wednesdays, and where he takes us and all the dimensions that he starts to happen. Last week, I was at the Mount of Transfiguration in Scripture, and there, as he comes down, Jesus says, don't tell this vision to anyone until the Son of Man is resurrected. So they had experienced something supernatural, very powerful, that affected them, that put them on the ground, and they saw, then they only saw Jesus. And then they come down into the valley, and there are the disciples having an argument with the Pharisees or some religious leaders about who's doing what or why it isn't working. And it's all about trying to get a demon out of an epileptic son and a father crying out for help. So Jesus steps in. He intervenes. Father owns his unbelief and speaks of the faith he's now being heard, hearing in this conversation with Jesus. And Jesus sees the crowd and sees the demonic demonstration. He calls the demon out. And it looks like the child is dead, but he actually is fine and well and totally recovered. Disciples that evening, they said, tell us, why couldn't we cast him out? And he said, because of your unbelief. And then he went on to say, this kind only comes out by fasting and prayer. Now, we could take that both ways. We could say that this kind of a demon only comes out if you fast and pray. This kind of, I take it more the unbelief. So we have been fasting and praying for now, we're in our 11th month, so that we can soften our hearts and so we can begin to believe again and fresh. And we, Petey had this word in prayer, and then Wes piggybacked on it. Petey said, the Lord says, make your plans, set your purposes, but always leave room for me to step in and lead, so that you're not concretely decided what you're going to do in any situation. You've got room for me to step in and you follow me. Then Wes picked up on the fact that so often we hear and have a true encounter in Scripture and truth and faith, and we then accept that as pretty much all of the encounter and truth that's in that Scripture. And after a while, we keep bringing experiences that were now have become kind of like routine statements or beliefs or what. And we then exclude the Lord from speaking further or larger into the Scriptures because we kind of go into a rote. And well, I know that. Yeah, I know that. And I know that. And so we were then praying into, oh, Lord, we need to leave room to hear your voice anew in old things. And I've been praying that, Lord, I would not let any tradition that I hold or others have taught me or things that I've learned and have now accepted as truth. I want any of them to be overturned by the Lord. And I want to be able to receive him as he's speaking, and I want to respond to him. So that's why we're doing Hebrews. We did not skip. We put all that focus on the book of Hebrews and Revelation when we did our conference during Sukkot. Larry Napier did an astounding job of opening scriptures. Everybody did a terrific job of preparation by reading the Hebrews and meditating on it, and I hear it still going. But I felt last week, Lord said, don't leave it. There's a lot more. You're just scratching the surface. You're just kind of, you haven't even hit the treasure drove. So we took Hebrews 1 and 2 last week. I was going to do 5, but that 5 chapters, that wasn't going to work. And we just kind of highlight it. Because see, if you meditate in Scripture, and if you begin to familiarize yourself experientially with the truth, and it brings you to an encounter with Jesus, which all truth is to bring you to, Jesus. He's the one who makes us free. He's the one that heals us. When we have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand, and we turn to him. See, so all Scripture, all encounters of hearing his voice in Scripture will cause us to turn to him, and then he heals us. So I'm just going to start at chapter 3 and 4 again. When I was as a youth pastor, Dan Peters, you're listening, you'll remember this conference. Back then, it was a church in Moore Park, Grace Chapel. I'd just gotten hired as assistant pastor. I was becoming a worship pastor and youth pastor. And they brought a gentleman, Campbell McAlpine, who was a New Zealander, who was a major person in the charismatic renewal that had just, you know, we were right now 81, so it was just still present, you know, present memory in the 70s. And he came and he ministered. He'd written a book called Alone with God or Meditation. It was about meditating the Scripture. And it was a weekend conference, and I'm there. And in the midst of it, he had said, pick a portion of Scripture, like a chapter somewhere, and you just take, and we'll break this down on what Saturday, and but you take a portion and you read slowly, and you read with your heart, and you ponder. You don't memorize, you just kind of linger. You chew, you imagine, you see, you hear. And I don't know how I got there, but I chose chapter 3. And I practiced it without really knowing, was it doing anything or how would I, what was I doing it right? But as I did that, to this day, 40 years later, 41 years later, that chapter, if I go there and I read it and I think of it and pray, it's a door that I walk right through. It's like the access still there because I'd given the way I believe that Jesus intended, meditating the Scripture, pondering it, speaking it, seeing it, imagining it, encountering the Lord with it. And because I had, now it's like a supernatural access point. And so today I'm thrilled to be here. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, so come with me, and I want to introduce you to probably, this is like the pivotal part, and this is where I get what I'm saying about it. We're fasting and praying. We're putting ourselves in a position of prayer and submission to truth so that our hearts can soften and we can hear his voice. He says, today, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, every one of us in this room, Chris, that's you. It's you guys. It's all of us. We're partakers. We've become partakers, partners in this heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Apostle and high priest. Consider means to think and learn and find out everything you can. And then after you've done that, do it again. And then do it again. And do it again. It's a overlay in intentional pursuit, and that's what scripture is. Scripture is not something I read and then do. It's something I read and receive and allow it to affect me, even when it isn't seemingly changing anything, but I'm accepting the truth in the scripture. He was faithful. So it talks about the two houses, the house that Moses was a servant over, the one that we're going to have a lot of comparison in Hebrews over, and the one that we are in his body, the one that Jesus built as a son. Moses a servant, Jesus a son. It says, verse 6. Okay, wait a second. If I'm considering the apostle and high priest of my confession, so I'll ponder. I'll think, hi, you're my apostle. You were sent for this purpose. You were sent to bear witness to the truth you told Pilate. And I'm going to consider you're my high priest. I'm going to understand what is that functionality of relationship, that office. I want to know you in your office. I don't want to know you just in your humanity. I want to know you in your elevated state of authority. And then he says, hold fast your confession. He's a high priest and apostle of our confession. What is a confession? It is the ability to mature as a believer, because you can now have you can have heard the Lord speak and you say back to him what he's saying. That's prayer. Hear him speak and say back to him what he's praying. We're learning the language of heaven. We're not trying to get heaven to speak like the earth. We are wanting to agree with the language of heaven. That's what the confession is. What I'm hearing, I am acknowledging, I'm receiving. I can't produce it. I can't perform it. I don't even understand it. I just say, this is true. I receive it. See, my mind is not the door this all comes to land. It may come through my will and my willingness and my intentionality, but it has to get into the heart for it to have the life and the faith and the whole believing factor. So I am considering this. He is the apostle and high priest of my confession. So now in verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm to the end. Hebrews is such a rich book, and it is so many layers. It's so many ways, because it repeats the truth in different ways and builds upon what it's repeating. I love saying whose house you are, whose house I am. I am your house. I am a member of the body of Christ, the living member. I'm a living stone of the full temple of God. I'm your house. So in Hebrews 10, it says, he is the high priest over the house of God. So I know you're a high priest over the house of God. You're, and I'm that house. And what makes me stay in that place of reception and enjoyment and pleasure is if I just hold fast the rejoicing of hope. Go back to verse 6, please. Whose house we are, if I hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm to the end. When the Spirit speaks in the Word, and we hear the truth, and we hear the voice, and we begin to respond, and we say yes, hope fills us. It's always a major part of the word and voice of God. Faith comes as we accept it, but it's the hope is what lifts us. And that hope is Jesus Christ. He is the great, the better hope. He is the hope. He's the reason we have an anchor on the other side of the veil that takes our soul. And you see, our soul can get sucked into the vortex, or it can be anchored to heaven. Think of that. In the earth, gravity takes everything down, but in heaven, everything takes it up. And so there's an anchor. It's to our soul, and my soul needs to be anchored, and it's to the hope, and it's to the high priest, the forerunner. So I am in a war zone, as we all are. And what happens is everything is intended by the devil to get us to let go and not hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. It didn't say rejoicing of hope, it's the hope. The hope is Jesus and all that he's accomplished and all that he is, the hope. So if I hold fast, because that means I'm going to have, there's going to be a conflict. When I saw this, it helped me so many years ago. The battle is over your hope. And you start to lose hope. You start to let go of your purpose. You start to really, but it said, just hold it fast. To the end. To the appointed end. To the completion. So the war is over hope. And you can find out how we're doing is how much the hope is staying. And you can't keep hope unless you come into the presence behind the veil, come to the high priest, begin to behold him and receive him. And you can just say the scriptures until they begin to find their own voice inside of you and they begin to connect us. So here he is saying, okay, this you're his house, but you're... And I love saying, I say, I'm your house. I'm a member of your house. And I am holding fast, going to hold it down. I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to hold the confidence, which means the boasting and assurance and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So there it is, six verses, basic Christian walk. You're born of above, apostle, high priest. He releases his calling in our life. We begin to learn it, hear it, and grow it in the word. Don't have to have details. Very little things in the Bible about details, but a lot about the largeness. And then you hold it because there's a conflict. There will be war. There will be contradictions. There will be setbacks. We'll look at ourselves and be disappointed with what we did. We'll look at others and be disappointed in what they did. But God is never disappointed in anything except when we let go of his son. He says, just hold hope. Just hold hope. So now listen to this verse. This is going to be repeated three times. Psalm 95. Your own meditation for the week. Go to Psalm 95, because all the other verses around these verses, they tell you what to do in order to avoid what they're telling you not to do. But so he says, today, therefore the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit says, this is Psalm 95, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. I'm not making up the idea that a hard heart is my problem, or a hard heart is the door that locks faith and puts unbelief as a bolt and doesn't allow faith to flow, because the hearts harden and we can't hear. And if we can't hear, we won't obey. Not because we can't hear physically, but our heart can't hear. So you have to place yourself inside the scripture, inside the spirit, inside this position of conversation. It started my hope, and I'm going to have to keep that hope fresh by beholding him and seeing him and letting him build in those words and grow them without me trying to force him to be complete. Don't try to make the scripture work. Just let the scripture do its work. Transformation through the beholding. So he says, don't harden your hearts as in the day of trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. And they proved me. And he said, I was angry with the generation. I said, they're always going astray. They always go astray in their hearts and have not known my ways. These two chapters, this genius to learn. This is a relationship with a man who's glorified, seated at the right hand, who happens to hold his high priestly ministry that allows him to help us, come to our aid, do all kinds of incredible things anytime we'll turn to him. And he is the source of hope. He is the source of the better covenant, the better hope, the better sacrifice, the better priesthood. And so he's saying, Don't go into that posture. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, that's a key for the destination of every day and of our life, is to enter his rest. If you're in rest, that which is going on around you doesn't affect you, because rest is greater than disruption. Rest is not the absence of strife. Rest is a place in Christ, in union, in communion. It's entering into God's completion, the completion of when God finished his work. So he says, now, beware, brethren, lest in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So I'm holding fast my confidence of hope. I'm holding fast my confession. I'm wanting to respond the next moment I hear him. I want to hear him every day. I need to hear him every day. But I got to beware, because there's another option that could happen. I could neglect the great salvation, chapter 2 said. I could neglect paying that, giving attention to and listening and considering. And what happens if I neglect things, something else springs up. The same heart, the evil unbelief. A heart becomes evil in unbelief. We all have met it. We've all been there. When we who were fresh and loving and life-giving, because our heart goes hard and we cannot hear, and unbelief begins to root, we have evil intentions. We no longer have the same pursuit. So what happens when we start departing? We're not trying to. Nobody backslides because they got up in the morning and said, you know, I'm having such an extraordinary walk with Jesus, I think I'm just going to go and sin some more. No, it happens when you start losing the connection and the enjoyment and the hope, and you start backing away. You start losing that place. The place isn't held by the will. It's not held by emotions. It's not held by the intellect. It's the heart engaged and connected and believing, receiving, accepting, enjoying. So what are we to do? Exhort one another. That's why we're here, everyone online. I'm exhorting. You know what exhorting means? It means pull people close. Come here. It's like a huddle on the field. Come on. Come on. We're not letting go. We're not losing our place. When we've, the fasting and praying, and the fasting is just separating ourselves unto a focused prayer. It doesn't have to be anything harsh to your body. It doesn't even have to do with food. Just do with time. But why we're doing that is because it's for everyone. There's coming a day, and it's already happening, that more and more hearts are just going to start coming alive. And it's like everything gets fresh. So he says, we gotta do this. Exhort one another, verse 13. While it's called today, 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 if you hear my voice, today, while it's called today, lest any be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. A missing of the mark and the sense of falling short and trying to do it on our own and living without the resource of God and trying to resource ourselves, our hearts harden and they get harder and harder. The opposite of hardening heart through absence of being influenced is a softening of heart by being influenced in his spirit with his word in prayer. That's why prayer is so powerful, especially if you can pray with a few people that are in pursuit of God and nothing else. They're not trying to get God to do it a certain way or trying to go a certain way because God's doing that. They're just beholding and worshiping, ministering. And then God says something to Brian, and he reads the scripture. I had to interrupt, I forget. I think it was Kathy. Kathy's been reading Psalms that just rock my world. And it's not because I've never read the Psalm. It's because she's reading faith from her experience in the Psalm, and it's transferring into me. She's reading a Psalm. No, it was Dennis. No, somebody wrote. Both of you guys did it. See, we always say when you're in the prayer meeting, and God gives you scripture, say the scripture, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6 to 19, and then read it. Then pray it. No more, not teach it, just read it and pray it. But say the verse, because if you don't say the verse, and it's a good scripture, I can't hear the prayer because I'm wanting to find the scripture. And that happened today a couple of times. And it was just expansive because Brian reads the scripture and the Spirit of God says, hey, guess what? That scripture fits on the scripture you were thinking about. And then I read this scripture and make a prayer, and the next thing, Allie's going, oh, wow, that's triangulating. It's connecting. The dots are connecting. And you can grow exponentially in a prayer meeting. If it's a, you know, if, as long as you don't get into all the things the flesh wants to do. You stay quiet, stay submitted, stay delighting, and say receiving and learning and growing. So don't, the heart start softens, the heart softens, the heart softens. I get another recovery. I got so wrecked today. I got so undone. I got so confronted. Now, why can't I keep going? For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of the confidence steadfast to the end. So you can see that the contest is to try to get us to let go and give up and walk away and not pay attention and not hold the confidence and not be steadfast to the end. To the end. There's a set time for everything. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. Three times this is going to be emphasized in two chapters. This is the second mention. This has got to be key. A lot of times we go, I'm not feeling it. I don't know how to hold my place. It's getting difficult. It's because we're neglecting the attention to hearing. And without hearing, our heart starts hardening. And when our heart hardens and God says, now run, we say no. That won't make a difference. Because unbelief has taken root. And it's unbelief here is obstinate, stubborn, willful disposition to, you're not going to tell me what I'm going to do. Just like the Pharisees were. They'd just say, what do you, they'd contradict everything Jesus was bringing with a contumacious attitude. For who, having heard, rebelled? Question. These two chapters, you get, it's about the doings, the workings out and working it with. He says, for who having heard, verse 16, rebel? Well, it was all those who came out of Egypt, those who were saved, those who had been brought out of captivity, those who, the nation that was brought out of a nation, the ones that came out of slavery to become a nation of sons. Now, with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpse fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest? Do you imagine? God came to the place, and it was at Kadesh Barnea when the spies came back, and they put out an evil report and caused the whole nation to say, we're not going in because this is an awful thing. Giants eat us here. He said, who? He said, you're not entering my rest. That's it. For 40 years I've put up with you. And 10 different times you've tested me. No, he hadn't put up for them, but maybe at the most 2 years. He's just getting them, trying to get them to their location to cross over and get into their inheritance. And he said, Dot, you're not going in. Everybody's going to have to go through a remedial. Well, it's not even remedial like it was wrong. It was just the only way to get Egypt out of it. Is walking, listening, hearing, learning. I only live by the words that God speaks, and I need to be humble, and I need to understand what's in my heart, and I need to know that his word is true, and I need to learn. So we're all going to get up, and we're going to put our tents in certain places, and we're going to have a tabernacle with a fire on it at night and the cloud on the day, and we're just going to go about life as long as it's there. But the day it moves, we all pack up our stuff, and we start following. And then we've unpack and put ourselves back in place and spend a dime and go about life and allow worship to continue. And the next morning it moves again, we've got to leave again. Or if it stays for a year, we stay. It's a training for reigning. So he says, well, who didn't get to enter my rest? Those who did not obey. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Obedience and faith, unbelief, disobedience. They're synonymous. And where do they come out of? Soft heart, hearing the voice. Faith is rising. You hear faith. Or a hard heart that's going into unbelief because you won't hear his voice when he speaks. So chapter 4 is like going at it and making it into a personal application and giving the answer. So I won't go into all the personal application other than say, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of us seem to have come short of it. So there's a godly fear that says, you know what? I've got to apply myself. I've got to position my heart so I can be affected, so my heart can soften, so I can hear his voice and respond, because I don't want to come short of this promise of rest. I want in the rest. I want in all. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, to which the word they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So you see, faith is an intentionality. That's why I tell the men, you need to bring a believing heart. Don't come with an unbelieving heart. Now, you can't make yourself believe, but you can have a disposition that says, I will receive what I am hearing as truth, and I will agree with the word of God as truth, and I will may not be able to perform it, or I may not understand it, but I will not resist it. I will hear it, and I will mix it with the faith I have. So, he repeats, they swore in my wrath and will not enter my rest. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. That's the key. Today, soften, hear. Hear, soften, respond. Hear, soften, respond. That's what prayer life is. It's just a hearing voice, responding to his voice, and being affected. So he's, I'm going to jump up to verse 14, because here's the practice. And I don't expect you to get all this. I don't expect you to get your brain to get it. I'm just, you know, your heart's getting it. And your heart will start having be influenced. When I stop trying to keep up to either understand the Word of God or perform the Word of God, I open the unlimited power of the Word of God to change me. Because no longer was I trying to force it to completion, nor longer was I trying to understand it so I could do it, and no longer was I trying to use it as a lever or leverage to try to get God to do my will. I just started beholding this. And why? Because here, follow me. No, not yet. I want verse 11. I'm sorry. Hebrews 4, 11. Let us therefore. Are you with me? You still? We good?
Yeah.
All right. So here. This is a succession of movement that brings to result to receiving from the throne of grace. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall short according to the same example of disobedience. The more you see it, you go, oh, I know what that, I see the disobedience factor, so let's be diligent to enter that rest. Let's apply ourselves to enter rest. For the word of God, why in the world is it saying the word of God? Word of God here is logos. It's a key. It's the conversation of God truth that he is speaking to his creation to receive what he has accomplished. It's the logos. For the logos of God is living. See, he just said, "Don't." I want you to be diligent to enter the rest. It must have something to do with the word of God. Rest must come through the word of God. The logos is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word sharper is the imagery that you don't, it's not a dull instrument. You don't have to do but one cut and it's complete. He's so perfect. And what does the word of God do when we apply it and we read and we speak it and we pray it? It was meant to be just be given. It's like God saying, here's the language of heaven. Learn these words. Live inside of these words. Say them back to me. You'll start to learn how I talk. I'll talk back with you. You'll hear me in your word. It's sharper and pierces to the division of soul and spirit. You know, so many of us don't know what our soul is from our spirit. Why would we? Because we the soul is me. It's me. It's my personality. I've got 6 grandchildren. We have this digital frame that they are all through their app send us photos as the kids are going ever. And you look at them and you go, these 6 kids, 11, to one. And each one is a marked personality. It's unique personality. That's the signature. That's me. That's my soul. It's connected in my outer being. It's found inside my blood. It's the earth. It's me. It was there in conception. There I was. And I am very persuadable by the circumstances of life. I'm very in touch with the earth. I feel it. I see it. I'm afraid. I panic. I try to control. I lust. I want this because I don't think I'll get it, because I recognize there's only so many pieces of the pie and there's so many people that want it. So you just are in this conflict. So, but the Word of God, it's so powerful, sharper, and pierces, and then it divides and says, that soul, you don't need to live there. Just you're, that's fine. I love you just the way you are. You're cute and everything. But life doesn't come from here. Life comes from the heart. You believe with your heart. You believe with your heart. You process with your soul, but you believe with your heart. Your soul is a massive processor. Just aware of everything. But you believe with your heart. So we're going to separate the two. You've got to have a separate. If you don't, and my word's the only thing that can get you caught. And when you see it, you go, oh, I see it. It divides the joints and the marrow. Joints are the ligaments, the parts of the outer man again. It makes this whole flesh work. Marrow is where life begins. It's the life. It's where the blood is generated. It's the inner man, the outer man. You see it and you go, oh, this is what the Word of God's helping me to see and receive. And it's a discerner. Now watch this, because here we are. Today, if you hear his voice, today, if you want to hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And now all of a sudden, here comes this piercing sword, and it's discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Oh, it's deep, deep work going into my heart of things that I saw 40 years ago, of things that I've walked through multiple times during the 40 years, of the working of the Lord, of beholding him, of him going into places of healing. And it's all because of the way the Spirit and truth were functioning. Spirit, Holy Spirit, truth, God's Word. And I was going, whoa, you're helping me see what I couldn't see. I can't see. I don't know that I'm believing a lie until I see the truth. I don't know that I'm in a dysfunction until he shows me how he's working. So the Word of God's doing that in prayer. Therefore, there is no creature. There's no creation. Catch it. This is the high priest. He brings the word. He uses the sword because he's bringing us into submission to the truth. And what does he do? He says, there's no creature, hidden from his sight. Every one of us, every thought we think, every act we act, every word we speak is already there, apparent to him. But all things are naked and open. Now, this is so radical. Naked, we get that. He can see through everything. He can see to the center of where we are. He built us naked. He wants to cover us with glory. But they're open. The word open is to grab someone by the throat, like slaying a sacrifice. So can you imagine that an encounter, a good encounter in the scripture with Jesus, in a heart softening moment, you can find not just the discerning thoughts of heaven, but you can find yourself totally naked and totally vulnerable. And why? Why? Because we must give an account. You know what the word account is? You got to know it. Logos. Your conversation is to match his conversation. I'm going to learn to say what he says so that he is pleased with what I say. I will give an account. Now, if I refuse him and I don't allow him to speak and my heart hardens, I'm going to have my own conversation, but it's not going to be the one that he's going to accept. And I'm going to be in a lot of trouble at times when I'm trying to get help because I don't know how to reach for help because I'm not submitting to truth. So I'm learning to give my account. When we mature, we will sound more like Jesus than we sound like ourselves when we fellowship with him in Jesus. So what does that do? Seeing then we have a great high priest. We have this great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let's hold fast our confession. Let's hold fast the God talk. keep the God conversation going, because that's the place of access. Because then we can accept, I have a great high priest. He's passed through the heavens. He's not here on earth. He's not stuck in my problems. He's sitting in heaven glorified. He's the next of the majesty. Scripture describes him. I experience him. What happens? Then we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. All points he was tested, just like we are. Every test we're going through, he's already been through. And every test that we're going through, he has sympathy. He has the capacity to say, let me come next to you and say, I understand, and I'm present, but I'm here to help. And here's how he helps. He says, let's therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. So I'm coming to the throne of grace because I'm in a test, and I'm in a time of need, and I'm going to come boldly because of my high priest, and because I've been impacted in the living word of God, and things have separated, and things have become discerned, and I see who he is, I see who I am, I'm now seeing something he's doing, and I'm approaching him, coming to the throne of grace, and he says he wants to give me mercy. I can obtain, I can receive mercy. And that's what we're going to do right now. I can obtain the mercy, and then I can find grace, which means literally I will be wrapped around in grace so that my ship doesn't fall apart in the middle of the sea. If you read it in the Strong's, it means to find grace to help. The word help is the word, a nautical word called frapping. It's when a ship began to fall apart in the sea. You would take a chain or rope and you'd run it around underneath and you'd start tighten the ship again, because otherwise it's going to just fall apart. So you just chain it, you would tighten it, and that's help in time of need. In time of need, in the Hebrew, almost all Asian language, in Chinese, it means opportunity and problems. Every problem is an opportunity. Every opportunity is presenting a problem. You have to see through. So here comes boldness and grace, and it came because my heart moved from hardness to softness, and it happened because he took his living word and he pierced and he separated and he discerned, and I found myself at his mercy with knowing I'm known just as I am, and I found his knife of his word on my throat, and I realized this is for my good, because I need to submit to who he is, say what he says, and believe who he is. And this is a real moment. And all of a sudden, there he is going, I understand where you are too, because I was like you. I lived the life in the life. I am still a man, but now I'm glorified. I'm victorious, triumphant. So I'm not present in any of the struggle, but I understand what it was. And you're learning to listen to my voice and hear my words. So now come. Everything I have accomplished, I can give to you right now. All the grace that I've obtained in my Father is all for you, because I, by the grace of God, touched and suffered death for everybody. And so all of a sudden, mercy's coming, grace is coming, mercy's coming. And you're sitting in the same room, the same problem that you started with, and all of a sudden you're just going, I can't stand it. Something's, and you're going deep, you're going high, you're going low. You realize, I'm having an encounter with the living God. A high priest, our Lord. Can you stand up with me? I am sorry, I do this every single day of my life, and I love this. I'm learning, and I'm just telling Jesus, I know I don't know but anything. And I'm not trying to know with my head, I want to experience you. So let's pray for an experience. You are precious people. And the Lord spoke over you this evening, this morning during prayer. He said, I have sent my deep wells, like in the days of Noah. I'm going to break open my wells, and then I'm going to open the heaven and pour out rain. But the wells break open first. And for some of us, our hearts have hardened, not because we wanted them to, we just out of neglect or out of, I don't know. We got out of the habit of hearing his voice, softening my heart, hearing his voice, responding like a child, allowing it to affect me, allowing him to point out, that's your soul, that's your spirit, that's the inner man, that's the outer man, that's the real intention of your heart. Go ahead, own it, own it, own it. And then there I am, the high priest, ready to help. I'm ready to help. Hold the confession. Come on, you are who I say you are. You are who I say you are. You are who I am. Say I am. You are, I am who I say I am. Hold those words. Are you there? Step into it. Step into that place. You're there. You're there. This is practice for this week. You're there. I'm standing at the throne of grace. But I didn't just get there because without a believing heart. And I didn't get the believing heart alive again unless the Word of God began to affect me. And the Word of God didn't begin to affect me until I began to have a vulnerability and allowed Him to speak. And when He begins to speak, now I begin to feel. But now that I'm here and I realize where I need, I can say, God, help me. Send me your grace. Send me your mercy. Could you raise your hands? Receive it. There's mercy. God does not supply the Spirit or work miracles among us by the works of the law. We'll never be good enough to get it, but it's by the hearing of faith. You have a high priest online. You have a high priest. His name is Jesus, the high priest, and He is over your confession, and He's now right now. Right now, saying, if you'll receive me as I'm speaking to you and not refuse my voice that's being spoken, then watch what I can bring. Mercy, 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 mercy. Here comes mercy, mercy, and mercy to obtain and grace to find. Find, find it. Lord, this is our prayer, to live inside these scriptures until they begin to affect us into experiences with Jesus our Christ, our Lord. Yes, you're doing it now, Lord. Yes, now. Beloved, there's so much salvation yet to be experienced, so much grace yet to be received, so much more mercy than we've had. And it's all to move us into the future, to the time of opportunity, the thing that's in front of us. Lord, do it now. Do it now. Do it in everyone. Bring us into the presence and the exchanging process and practice of prayer and meditation of your word. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. All right, there are some infections that are being addressed in Jesus' name and altered. There is a season of weariness that's going to break off. It's a weariness of well-doing, and you're wondering, how long do I have to do what I'm doing? And you're focusing on what you're having to do, and you're focusing on the lack of results, and you're losing your faith because you're looking at the wrong person. You're looking at self instead of Christ. He is the delight. He is the reward. He is the pleasure. He's the breakthrough. He's the answer. He's the journey. He's the destination. And the Lord says, just lift up your head now and see redemption. We were hearing that prayer again. That when the problems grow, lift up your head and see redemption's drawing near. So lift, Lord, right now by the power of the glorious name of Jesus, we ask the Holy Spirit and Word of God, help us lift up our head and we see redemption. We see the soon coming redemption of the body of Christ, the breakthrough, the transformation. We see. Oh, beloved, you're just getting in. We're in. Whoa, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.